This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your bountiful creation. May we learn to love it. May we learn to love one another as you have loved us. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so if I can get this off, I don't want to get this caught in the spokes. You noticed this bicycle, obviously. So. So, yeah, so this bicycle, I don't ride near enough. I hope I won't demonstrate that, my inability. So, if you ride a bicycle, right? So, you ride this bicycle, and if you aren't paying attention, if I had been looking over there, or if I'd been, well, that didn't mean to do that. If I had been looking anywhere but right ahead, especially inside here, what would have happened? Yeah, I would have wobbled, I would have been off balance, and I probably would have crashed, hopefully not into any one of you. Now, my husband is here today. If you would come forward, please. Thank you. He is an avid golfer, and he's a really good golfer. So I've asked him, I don't know where you can do this, Scott, maybe over here, if you could just show us a really good golf swing. Watch out for the altar, though. And he's not going to really hit the ball. The altar's really close here, though. He'll go over there. No, but the altar, I'm saying. Okay, I won't look. Okay, swing the bat. The bat. I said the bat. All right, all right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Now, I've never liked golf. But about 5 or 6 years ago, I decided to take Scott up on an offer because he came home one day with a set of ladies' clubs. And we went out golfing, and he started to teach me, and he's a really, really patient teacher, which is a very good thing. Because after 5 or 6 years now of me playing, I really love it. I do. I'm not very good at it, but I love it. But the one thing I wanted you to notice about his swing and about what I am not able to do yet very well is that when you have the club and you swing that club, if you look up and you're more interested in where the ball is going than on what you're doing, that ball is going to go everywhere but where you want it to go. Everywhere but where you want it to go. It takes focus to ride a bicycle. It takes focus to drive that golf ball well and for it to go where you want it to go. How many of you are in the medical profession or teaching or work in a really busy environment? How many of you? Day to day to day. Okay, several years ago, eons ago, I worked as a nurse at Bethesda Hospital, and I worked on a very busy floor, and things could get so hectic that if I wasn't clear, and some days I wasn't, on exactly what I was supposed to be doing, and not listening to the 10,000 more things that I had to do, I wouldn't have done that one thing very well. And somebody could have gotten hurt. Something could have happened that wouldn't be safe. So in a busy environment or in a busy time at home, or like Sherry, when she's upstairs and there's a glitch in the computer, if she's not completely focused on correcting it and not all bogged down with the pressure of a service about to begin, it wouldn't work, but she's able to stay focused, like I'm sure many of you are, on that one thing that you're doing at a time. It takes focus to do our jobs well. Focus indeed. And Jesus, in today's story, is teaching all of us the one thing, the most important thing of all of life that he taught his disciples. The setting was intense. It was the Last Supper we're taken back to today. He's gathered with his disciples around probably not a table. It was on a floor. I think I've said this before. There were mosaics on the floor. They would have been on pillows, actually, lounging while they ate. Judas had already left the room. He had slipped out into the night. And he was on his way to tell the authorities where Jesus was. And Jesus knew what the other 11 disciples didn't know, that they were going to come and arrest him and execute him. So he was desperate. He was desperate to convey to them how he wanted them to live their lives. He just couldn't get by without instructing them. And today's reading is the very beginning of that most powerful instruction. He had little time. It was all but a done deal. And he said to them, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. More than any other glory to God is our capacity to love. That's how we honor God. That's how we honor Christ. It's how we love, both in easy times and hectic times, in our families, and when we really don't want to be the one to say, I'm sorry first. Notice, Jesus didn't say, and they'll know you are my disciples if you believe the right things, or if you say those certain words that come out of your mouth. Jesus said, and they'll know you are my disciples because you're loving one another and taking care of one another. It's an action he wanted. He didn't want the blah, blah. He wanted us to do the love in the world. And he cut to the chase. He got to the heart of things. He was plain. He was blunt. He was clear. You know, usually taught in parables and in paradoxes and stories and wanted them to try to figure it out. But tonight, on this night, he wanted to get to the heart of everything that he had taught them, the heart of all the scriptures. Love one another. That's how you'll be a Christian. So, Scott, if you could do one more thing for me, please. I'm always asking him to do so. If you could tip this bike up on end for me. Maybe if you could bring it right up here. I didn't tell him about this part. So up on end. Or upside down, yeah. That's perfect, just like that. Thank you, sir. Okay, so now I want you to notice. He's really a great guy. Okay, so I want you to notice when I spin the wheel. Can you see the spokes? I mean, can you really see the spokes? Say no. Okay, good. So, when it's spinning, though, what you can see was what? The reflection, okay. You also could see this, right? The hub, the center. It didn't move. It doesn't move. If it moved, we'd be in big trouble. The heart, the connection, is in that very center. All right, so if that hub of the wheel represents the love of Christ, I want you to imagine that each of these spokes represent each one of us. When we're close to Christ, at least on a regular bike, we're closer to one another. Yeah. And when we're out here, we're farther away from one another, and we're farther away from Christ. So when we're out here spinning and spinning and spinning, and not focused on the love of Christ in our lives, not focused on the other person, or more focused on what we think or being right instead of being joyful and happy, then we just keep spinning. But the closer we get to one another, the closer we get to the heart of Christ's love. And the opposite is also true. The closer we get to Christ, the closer we are to one another. The closer we are to one another. It's all about relationship. And my friends, this love of Christ is not only about loving one another, human beings. It's about loving all of creation. You know, we have Earth Day every year. It need not be Earth Day every year. We need to be aware every day of this creation. A wise teacher once taught me that we need to stop saying save the earth, because it isn't about that. It's about saving everything. If we don't save the earth, we are destroying ourselves. It's all of creation or nothing. It's not this outside thing that just, you know, frivolous people talk about. We must save ourselves. The earth hangs in the balance. And the recipe for that is loving one another and all of creation. And all of creation. Martin Luther King Jr. said that the story of the church is like a great extended family that receives a tremendous bequest. We receive an inheritance of a wonderful, beautiful, spacious, luxurious home to share. There is only one stipulation. All must live in it together. That which keeps us from our neighbor keeps us from God. That which keeps us from God keeps us from relationships and depth and meaning and purpose and peace in life. The most important, the most radical, the most giving is to love one another as Jesus loved us. I mentioned that yesterday we went to Habitat for Humanity, and we really had an amazing time. We were preparing five homes. We worked on one, but in the process of several weeks, we're preparing five homes for painting, which will be on May 11th, called Women's Work. And all five homes are going to be painted that same day. And during the morning, there was a woman that was working next to me for a while, and I noticed that she hadn't been there earlier. And what I found out in conversation is that she lived across the street. And our leader said that when we were all gathering in the beginning, we do this hooting and hollering just to, they do that to get everybody all sparked up and get to know each other, and then we go to work. We talk about why we're there. She heard that, it woke her up. And rather than turn over and put her pillow over her head and go back to sleep, she got out of bed and she walked across the street. And she decided to help us. She smiled almost the whole morning. And by the time she left, she said she wanted to be more involved in her community to help. They're working on about 180 homes that will eventually help to restore and renovate. It wasn't about herself anymore. And in giving is receiving. And she learned that yesterday morning. In closing, I have a story that I think drives the point home beautifully. It was just after Christmas time. A man was helping the needy in a poor part of town, and he got out of his car. And there was a little boy from a nearby project looking with great admiration at his new vehicle. And the little boy said, "Mister, does that car belong to you?" And the man said, "Yes, in fact, my brother gave it to me for Christmas. I've just gotten it." With that, the little boy's eyes widened, and he said, "You mean to say that somebody gave it to you and you didn't have to pay anything for it? That it came without any strings attached?" And the man said, "That's right. My brother gave it to me as a gift." With that, the little boy let out a long sigh, and he said, "Boy, I would really like..." And the man fully expected the boy to say, I would like to have a brother like that who would give me such a beautiful car. But instead, the man was amazed when the little boy said, wow, I would like to be that kind of brother. I wish I could give that kind of car to my little brother. Amen.